If you have your Bibles, or if you want to use one that's in the pew tonight, I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 23 and verse 26 through 43 is what we're going to be reading. It's Luke chapter 23. Just before we get into the word, we are talking about these two criminals that were crucified, one on either side of Jesus tonight, and I'll be going into a little more detail on particularly one of the two criminals, but one of the things that happened at one point in our ministry, and I really honestly don't recall which church it was, but I remember the situation vividly. We were pastoring in this town, and shortly after midnight on Saturday night, sometime into the wee hours of Monday morning, it was a rather crime-free town, I might add, but shortly after midnight, there was a murder in our community. And the next morning, being Sunday morning, our congregation came to church just like usual, and we had several visitors with us today, that day, and guests that were in the church, and that wasn't that unusual. We'd have visitors every so often. But one of the visitors, about the time I finished my sermon, got up and left the sanctuary. And it came out that later that day, that man who had been in our church was arrested for the murder that took place the night before. I have a feeling if word had gotten out before the service started, we might not have had a congregation that day. And so it was quite an experience. And tonight we are talking about two criminals, one that was crucified on either side of Jesus. Would you stand with me as we read from the scripture in Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 26 and going through verse 43. I'm reading out of the New International Version. And the soldiers led him away, and they seized Simon from Cyrene, and he was on his way in from the country, and they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned for him and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, weep for yourself and your children. For the time will come when they will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that have never borne, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mourners, or to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' And there was a written notice above him that read, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' he says, 'since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus answered him, 'Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Heavenly Father, we pray today that you would bless your word as we've now read it and as we expound on it in these next few moments. May it touch our hearts, and may we leave here today with the assurance that we too have a place prepared for us in paradise where we will once again be with our Lord and Savior. We ask your blessing on the message and upon the rest of this service, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's interesting to note that the last person Jesus would see and speak to on this earth would be the first person he would probably welcome in paradise, and that was the criminal that was crucified on the one side of him. Tonight, what I want to talk about is the assurance that God gives to his people, assurance of paradise. And there's a song, and while I was preparing, obviously, I always have a song in my messages that I was preparing that I was singing through my mind as I was preparing this sermon. And it's the song, "If That Isn't Love." The words are as follows: "He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me." And the chorus says, "If that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the little sparrows can't fly. Yes, if that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love." And then the second verse ties to our message tonight. "Even in death, he remembered the thief hanging by his side. And he spoke with love and compassion, and he took him to paradise." The death of Jesus on the cross offers you and I tonight the same assurance that this one who was crucified beside Jesus was granted when Jesus said to him, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." We're going to look at three aspects of the death of Jesus on the cross that show us tonight how he offers us the same assurance. And the first one I want to talk to you tonight about is the death of Jesus on the cross offers us his assurance, and it comes from the Lord. In spite of the predicament that this criminal found himself in spite of it, he would have an assurance before the day was out that he would be with the Lord in paradise. Matthew 27 and verse 44. "In this same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him." His attitude, perhaps, at the first of the encounter was the same as the other criminal. Perhaps it was the same as the religious leaders who were on the ground hurling insults at Jesus. Perhaps. We don't know. We don't know what was in his mind. We don't know if he had ever met Jesus before. In fact, I kind of doubt it if he'd ever encountered the Savior before this particular time. And yet he heard the words that we spoke about last Wednesday night: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And could it be that in his heart of hearts and in his mind, in his spirit, that he thought, "I need that same kind of forgiveness that was offered to those who were crucifying him. I need that forgiveness tonight." And that may be the attitude the criminal had as the situation evolves and transpires on that day. This criminal is a representative of all of us tonight. Now, we don't do the same things as he did. Don't get me wrong. I'm not accusing anybody here of robbing banks. Probably he did. I'm not accusing you of snatching purses from little old ladies. Maybe he did. I don't know. Or being a thief, which is apparently one of the crimes that he had committed. If you can imagine, though, a person that would work for a company not located in the same town they live in. My daughter's just such a person, living in St. Louis. She works for a company that's in Maryland. Very faithfully, she has her office in her basement, and every day her husband watches the kids and she goes down there and works. But if you can imagine in that same scenario that the person works for a company in another location, and yet every day they even though they gladly receive a paycheck from this company every week or two, every day they go out and they actually work for another company, a competitor. Can you imagine that? That would be probably one of the grossest aspects of our style, our thoughts of stealing. And we don't do that, but we serve ourselves. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be serving God. Or worse than even serving ourselves, there are times when we serve Satan himself. We serve the enemy's desires when he comes and plants that temptation in our spirit. Isn't that just as bad? Aren't we in the same category as this thief on the cross? I've read many times, and it's recently I read it again, that when we can't compare ourselves to each other, we do pretty good. I can stack up pretty good against the next person in the church. But that's not what God asked us to compare ourselves to. You see, if we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, we fall woefully short, my friend. And that's the comparison that really matters. He looked at his life, most likely, and he said, I'm the sinner in need of forgiveness. And he turned to Jesus and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He gave credence to Jesus' word when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. This thief was at his end. He was at his end. He had no opportunity to change. And every one of us is going to face that day someday when we are at the end of the line and the end of the road. No more opportunities to change. If you're going to serve God, don't wait. Don't put it off. Do it today. Do it today. If you want to have your sins forgiven, don't wait. You may not have that opportunity. We're not promised the next breath. How many know that that's the truth? We're not promised that next breath. God has a time appointed. Serve him today. Follow him today. If we do not become helpless, Jesus said, if you don't become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. If we don't become helpless like the criminal on the cross, we really can't be saved. A.W. Pink, a renowned scholar in the scriptures, he said he could not walk in the paths of righteousness, for there was a nail through both of his feet. He could not perform any good works, for there was a nail through either hand. He could not turn over a new leaf and start living a better life, for he was dying. But he was drawn to Jesus. If we're not helpless, we won't be saved either. Jesus died to give us the assurance that we also, like the thief on the cross, can be with him in paradise. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. There's a song that says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. 3 months ago when my wife passed, all I could think about was, someday I'm going to see her again. Someday I'm going to see her again. And I'm still excited about that, let me tell you. But you know, as the time goes on, I come back to the center more, because the real joy of heaven, though it will be wonderful to see my father, who in 1976 died, and my wife, who in 2013 passed away, though that will be wonderful, oh, to see Jesus! This day, he said to the thief, you shall be with me in paradise. And that promise is true for you and I today if we serve the Lord. Well, the second aspect of Jesus' death on the cross, the first is this guy's predicament. The second aspect is remarkable faith. As far as he knew, Jesus was probably just another criminal dying on the cross until, as I said, he heard him speak, Father, forgive them. Maybe he heard Jesus in his prayer. Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided his clothing by casting lots. He knew he needed forgiveness. Somewhere along the line, while he hung on that cross, there was a change that took place in his heart. I remember in one church that Doris and I had the privilege of pastoring in, and this one I do know where it was located. We were in Florida, and we were in a community where drugs were a big deal. They were dealt regularly and readily out of that community because we lived on the edge of the Apalachicola National Forest. And what the drug dealers would do is they would go out into the National Forest, they would clear out some trees, a patch of trees, and then they would plant their marijuana crops. And they would grow them, and no one could trace the crop back to them. We had one such young man in our church who had gotten saved. He had come out of that culture. He not only dealt drugs, but he used them. And he was also an alcoholic. He was used alcohol in a serious way. And I'll never forget one night about midnight. My wife and I were obviously asleep. We don't ever stay up that late, not even on New Year's Eve. And we had gone to bed, and the phone rings, or the door rings. It was the doorbell at about midnight. And so I got up, and I thought, well, who in the world would be ringing my doorbell at midnight? And I went to the door and opened it, and there was a young man. I won't use his last name. His first name was Robin, and he was slobbering drunk. He was as drunk as anybody I'd ever seen. He fell into my house, and his wife was with him, and he was crying and boo-hooing and blubbering, and as a drunk man may do. And he said, I've let Jesus down. I don't know what to do. And I said, come in and sit on the couch. We're going to pray. We started to pray. And I don't know if you've ever witnessed a miracle before, but that night, my wife and I witnessed a miracle. As we prayed, this man who was slobbering drunk began to sober up instantly. And within probably 2 minutes, he was as completely sober as I was that night. And he said, Pastor, I've let Jesus down so bad. I've failed him so bad. And I said, Robin, that's where the grace of the Lord comes in. He still loves you. He still forgives you. He hasn't given up on you. And the thief on the cross, though he had maybe committed many a crime, yet it was still the love of Jesus that would reach out to him and say, this day you shall be with me in paradise. What a remarkable faith this man had. As my friend that night also found out, is that Jesus not only would sober up the drunk man, but he would forgive his sin-sick spirit soul. Well, the third aspect of Jesus' death on the cross that offers assurance is this man's amazing future. His amazing future. You say, what future? He's dying. Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This very day, you will be with me. The last person that Jesus would speak to on this earth would be the first one he would speak to at the gates of glory on that day. One of the greatest blessings of the Christian life is that we are called to fellowship with Jesus. One of the greatest blessings. This is where you engage, friends, your minds and your hearts, is that we are called to fellowship with Jesus. What a joy to have that opportunity. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus had prayed the night before, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, there you may be also. This very moment when Jesus said, this day you shall be with me in paradise, the thief was placed on the same plane as the disciples, only he'd get there a lot sooner. Erwin Lutzer pointed out four facts of the thief's salvation. Number one, he did not make an intermediate stop in purgatory, apparently. Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Number two, First of all, before I tell you what number two is, I want to say that I believe in being baptized. Both my wife and I were baptized. I believe in baptism. But he wasn't baptized. Number three, he did not receive last rites, nor did he receive Holy Communion. Number four, Erwin Lutzer said, he did not ask Mary, who was at the foot of the cross, for help in approaching Jesus. Can you imagine that? He's on the cross. He looks at Jesus and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Instead of saying that, he looks down at Mary. He says, Mary, tell him to remember me when he comes into his kingdom. That's not what he had to do. He just asked Jesus. And Jesus said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. How many persons have at that last moment been afforded the opportunity to cry out for mercy to Jesus? And I believe in faith they received it. Don't count on it. You don't know that you'll get that. Make your peace with God now. Always, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, today. He had an amazing faith and an amazing future. One of the greatest blessings of the Christian life is to be called into fellowship with Jesus. Jesus had prayed. The thief now would be granted eternal life. The Lord's last companion on earth would meet him at paradise. What an amazing future. What an assurance. And one final aspect of Jesus' death on the cross. And this one is a little more sobering. Is the testing of his faith. You say, what testing? He was already being crucified. Listen to this. Matthew 27:46, about 3 in the afternoon, and we'll get to this on another service on Wednesday nights. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? I read that to you because I want to suggest to you, can you imagine this criminal hanging on the cross who has said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And now Jesus calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as if that's not enough, the darkness comes over the whole land. And as if that's not enough, the ground begins to shake with a mighty earthquake. Imagine the testing of his faith. He heard the promise from the words of Jesus. He heard the promise, but then he hears, why have you forsaken me? His faith may have been shaken, as your faith may have been shaken at some point in your life. I know mine has been. But he had heard the Savior's assurance. And friend, when your faith is shaken, and it will be shaken, remember the Lord's assurance that he gave you when you came to faith in Jesus Christ. John 3:36 said, whoever believes in the Son of God has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. That promise is for you and for me today. We're going to sing a song in just a moment, I Surrender All. And in that song, if you will mean the words that you sing, I surrender all, you too will have the same kind of assurance that the thief had, the criminal had, as he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that in the trying times of our life, we can look to you and we can find the assurance that, yes, Lord, you are still in control. The earth might be shaking, the sky might be dark, but you are still in control, and our faith is not in vain. I pray today, Lord, if there's someone here experiencing just such a trial tonight, that they would remember the promises of Jesus, who has saved their souls and given them mercy. We ask your blessing upon each one who has received this message, and as we continue on with our service tonight, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.